Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Duke Health, offering food, medication delivery, and transportation to communities hardest hit by COVID-19. It's all through a special partnership with North Carolina agencies and 16 community-based organizations. Learn more about Duke's COVID-19 response at dukehealth.org.
This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and the South. I'm Charlie Shelton Ormond.
I mean, if we keep losing our people this way, and our people keep getting sick this way, our future is in question.
Most recent surge, you know, I don't think there's a better way to put it except that I really feel like it's carrying through the Lumbee community.
What's it really going to look like for the Lumbee people 10 years from now, 15 years from now?
Along the border between North and South Carolina in Robeson County, the Lumbee tribe has become overwhelmed with an ongoing surge of illnesses and deaths caused by COVID-19. Robeson County ranks last in the state in vaccinations, with about a third of the total population fully vaccinated. 39% of the county has received a single dose. For the Lumbees in the region, that number is even lower.
So looking at the tribe as a whole, the vaccination rate for the first dose is 26% from the latest numbers, and that is a few points lower than the average in Robeson County, which is already the lowest county in the state of North Carolina.
In our last episode of Tested, I spoke with my colleague Laura Pelliser about the high number of COVID cases and low vaccination rate in Robeson County.
The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services recently put together a report looking at the vaccination rate within the Lumbee community. And the Lumbee community is mostly based in Robeson County, but it does spill over into neighboring counties as well.
Laura has been talking with several folks from the Lumbee tribe in the area who are continuing to try and mitigate this surge.
I spoke with a range of folks who are enrolled members of the Lumbee tribe. I spoke with a family physician. I spoke with Chairman Harvey Godwin Jr., the leader of the tribal government. And so these are just a number of folks in the community who play a range of different roles, but who were all very much affected by the COVID pandemic and who felt loss very personally during this time. I mean, really, the sense that I got is that the past few weeks and the past few months, but mostly the past few weeks, have been really devastating for this community. One doctor that I spoke with, Dr. Shelley Lowry, who is a family physician, said that the best way to put it is that it is tearing through the Lumbee community.
So, you know, these are my people, and, you know, just looking at the numbers the last couple of weeks, and it just seems that we're getting hit a lot harder with this surge.
And Harvey Godwin Jr., who is the Lumbee tribal chairman, so the leader of the Lumbee government, he pointed to the loss of intergenerational knowledge by losing elders in the community.
And it's really heartbreaking because our elders are the backbone of the wisdom of our people. And that's where we draw our wisdom from.
And even then, it's not just elders who are dying at this point. The community is losing younger folks as well. And some folks that I spoke with talked about how having to live through hurricane after hurricane and having to live through really tough times historically has possibly prepared this community to weather this particular storm. But that doesn't mean that it's not having this really severe impact and is being felt really deeply by people.
and Harvey Godwin Jr. shared with you more about what it's like right now for members of the Lumbee tribe in Robeson County. And I know something that came up often in the people that you and I talked with was the number of deaths in Robeson County over the course of this specific four-day time period from August 31st to September 3rd. There were 24 deaths from COVID in Robeson County over that four-day time period at the end of August and early September. And a lot of people brought up that number, including Harvey Godwin Jr., just relating to how much COVID has hit the Lumbee community and the community as a whole in Robeson County.
Yeah, so the first thing that he pointed to when we started our conversation, which was really at the tip of everyone's lips that I spoke with, everyone sort of brought this up right away, but he pointed to the numbers. He also brought up the fact that those numbers, the case numbers, are being felt disproportionately by American Indians and by the Lumbee tribe. And we have racial breakdown data for Robeson County. And in that four-day period, the testing of COVID, we saw nearly 400 American Indians tested positive for COVID. And that number is equivalent to the total number from every other identified racial group in that county. So it's really significant.
And this past weekend, I went to a graveside and walked through a wake, both COVID cases.
And, well, he said that he's attended 100 funerals over the past 2 years. That's 100 funerals for folks that weren't mourned in a way that they would have been mourned in earlier times before the pandemic. So he says he sends a lot of flowers to their families when they pass away because you don't have that same sense of communion. You can't necessarily interact as intimately with the family members that you might have been able to before.
We can't afford to keep going to funerals like we're going. We can't afford for our people to get sick, and we don't know what their lifelong side effects are going to be from having COVID. We can't afford that anymore. We got to get on this. We got to get vaccinated so that we don't go through a grind of months and months to come. Will COVID always be with us? I think we've accepted it may be like the flu. It's going to be with us for a long time. Have we been through COVID fatigue? Yes, very much so.
He also talked about this spiritual disconnect that is happening in the community because folks aren't able to practice these rituals. Like, not everyone is comfortable going to church right now. Not everyone is comfortable, interacting with community in the way that they did before. And of course, he brought up the local doctors, Lumbee doctors specifically.
And just them being on the front line day in and day out and watching their own people become sick, ventilated, hospitalized, and then potential death. And then the death part is really tolling on them.
So Chairman Godwin Jr. emphasized that it's really important for folks to hear this message about the vaccine from people that they personally trust, that they personally know, who are Lumbee and who are local. So they've launched this video campaign on social media. They've put out one video with Lumbee doctors, one video with Lumbee pastors. And in one of those videos, the one featuring Lumbee doctors, one particular doctor stood out to me. Dr. Ginger Locklear is a pediatrician at Children's Health Pembroke. A couple weeks ago, she lost three people that she personally knew to COVID.
COVID has changed our lives fundamentally. Our children can't go to school. We can't go to church. We can't function as a people like we used to.
Chairman Godwin does hold a lot of hope that these videos will have an impact in the end by helping that number just creep up, you know, just one percentage point at a time, getting folks vaccinated.
So I'm here to encourage you. Please, if you have questions, come ask about COVID vaccination. If you're on the fence and you have questions, I believe it's safe. And fundamentally, if you want to do something for your community, think about something that allows you to protect each and every one of us every day.
What I heard from Chairman Godwin and from other people is that nearly everyone in the community at this point does know someone personally, whether it's an extended family member or a friend who tested positive for COVID. So it is hard to avoid and ignore the pandemic at this point.
So, Laura, throughout our conversations, we've been talking about the why a lot in Robeson County. Why is it lowest for vaccinations? And you've talked with folks about why within the Lumbee tribe is that vaccination rate so low? And, you know, looking at data in a more broader scope, the CDC does track racial data. And as of September 8th, American Indians / Alaskan Natives, which is the census designated group, has the highest vaccination rate in the country with 47% fully vaccinated. But that's national data, right? And it's unfair to kind of hold that up for comparison to Robeson County because it's crucial to take into consideration the local factors within every community, whether it's the Lumbee community in Robeson County or other communities across the country.
Exactly. There is a communal history within one particular tribe which might not match the history of another tribe. There is the story of geography and just where that tribe is currently located, currently based in the United States, and how neighboring values might be changing how that community feels about the vaccine. There's also the role of spirituality within a certain community and whether faith is possibly contributing to a lower vaccination rate and contributing to this wait-and-see attitude that some folks may have.
But there are still many out there, some, you know, who just do not believe that that this is in line with their beliefs. And so that has been pretty hard.
So that is Dr. Shelley Lowry, who you mentioned earlier in our conversation. And she's a family physician and the chief medical officer for Scotland Physicians Network. And she has been seeing a lot of patients and talking with a lot of different folks from different backgrounds and perspectives.
Dr. Shelley Lowry sees patients at least 2 days a week in person. And it's interesting because she spoke to me about the different waves of decision-making around the vaccine that she noticed from some of her patients. So she noticed that, you know, in this first initial wave, when the vaccine got emergency approval for distribution, you know, in North Carolina and the States, there was an initial wave of folks who were ready to take the vaccine, who trusted the science behind it. Then she says there's sort of this second wave of folks who came in maybe for a medical appointment, maybe for something else, and who she was able to have a conversation with that helped answer some questions that people may have had about, okay, how long did it take to actually develop the vaccine? You know, how safe is the vaccine? And so she says that many of those folks did walk out saying that, okay, they're ready. I'm ready to get the vaccine. And then we're left with sort of this final group that she describes as a bit of a holdout group.
But now it's just harder because I think what we're left with are the ones who are just standing on, you know, some principle of conviction that they don't believe it's safe or warranted.
She says at this point she's noticing for the folks who are left, there are some common threads. And for her, the two that she pointed out the most was this belief that God will protect me, so this spiritual belief. And then the other sort of subsection of people that she spoke about were folks who did believe that there's a government conspiracy, that they can't trust the vaccine, that they can't trust local or federal governments.
It is more of a either a religious objection or more of a, you know, it's just my right, and more of a political spin of I'm going to hold on. It's my body. It's my choice. And I have a right to say no to a vaccine.
And I will just say at the heart of what she has tried to do during this whole time is listen to people, remain empathetic, really understand where people are coming from, because she says that coming in with a bit of a brash or a forceful way of talking about the vaccine just is not helpful. And I also spoke with another member of the tribe at length who reinforce that this mistrust of government or this fear of medicine comes from this place of historic trauma. They said, you cannot discount the line of historic trauma for the Lumbee people. They also said that even if people don't say it out loud, folks are thinking about the smallpox epidemic. They're thinking of this through line of history. And so it's sort of the possibly one of the underlying factors behind gravitating towards faith or gravitating towards misinformation.
Combating that mistrust, or at least talking to folks about their skepticism, feels like an important thing on the radar of health officials and other leadership in the Lumbee tribe. And there are things that are working in those conversations and with those outreach efforts and getting more people vaccinated within the Lumbee tribe.
I think it's important to acknowledge that there are many folks in the Lumbee community right now, doctors, leaders, who still have this sense of hope. And they have this sense that there are ways to incrementally, gradually change this vaccination rate. And folks are still coming up with creative solutions. So recently, the tribe, in partnership with CORE, Community Organized Relief Effort, which is a national not-for-profit, which also has a regional director, Linda Maynor Oxendine, who is based in Robeson County.
I am also an enrolled member of the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina. You know, I live within the circle of the community.
That group has been partnering with the government. They recently got this $1 million federal grant to support COVID vaccination efforts in Robeson County. And now they are helping to run a new vaccination clinic that is running once a week for a few hours once a week. They headed to Lumbee Homecoming to set up a vaccination tent there. I will say each of these efforts are delivering really small incremental levels of folks who are getting vaccinated.
We have seen some increases in that number since we first began here in the area, but not the numbers that we're looking for or the numbers that we want to see in this area.
Linda Maynor Oxendine mentioned that, you know, at one recent vaccination clinic, they saw 9 people in a 3-hour period. She framed that as a success, but it is impossible to ignore that as that vaccination number is creeping up so slowly, the death count is also creeping up.
When you have families that have family members dying of COVID and the family still rejects the vaccine, that helps you understand the personal conviction that they're faced with. It's hard for them. It's not easy. It's not that they've just decided just a flat out, no, I'm just not going to take that thing, right? It's deep in their heart.
So something that has really hit me during this conversation is what you shared from Dr. Shelley Lowry and how she approaches conversations with her patients and taking the intentional time to listen to them and engage in conversation with them. You know, you can talk about the health benefits of the vaccine and why it's very important from a public health standpoint, but it seems like the thing that really helps bring things over the edge and is a possible tipping point in leading people to receiving the vaccine is that personal connection, that personal relationship. And it's just really tragic to hear that a lot of those personal relationships and connections are being lost right now as more folks die from COVID in Robeson County.
So for folks like Shelley Lowry, who are living the realities of COVID in this community every day, it's about the small successes and celebrating the small successes and also maintaining hope that folks will be ready to want to get the vaccine.
That's it for this episode of Tested. Thanks for listening.